Backseat Quickies, episode 40, The Hunger Games.
Bow chicka wow wow chicka wow wow chicka wow wow chicka wow wow bow chicka wow wow chicka wow 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 wow.
Hey, I'm Scott.
And I'm Sam.
And we just caught Hunger Games, which is a adaptation of a young adult novel by Suzanne Collins, in which a young girl from the broke-ass coal mining district of a stratified dystopian future is chosen to fight to the death on reality TV. And there's some stuff about how the guy from her district has a super huge crush on her, and oh my god, all the boys are so cute. And then there's some murder, and that's kind of the plot.
Wow, that was a quick sum up. That being said, one of the boys in the district looks like Nathan Drake from Uncharted, and we pretty much sat the entire movie going, Hey, Gail, go be Nathan Drake in the Uncharted movie. You look just like him. A douche.
I gotta say, this is a fairly faithful adaptation of the first novel, so a lot of my issues with it are gonna be from the novel more than so than the movie. That said, I'm gonna tear this apart a little, but I did like it. I did like it. I'm going to say that up front.
I did, too. I mean, there's definitely some weird inconsistencies that they changed in the film. For example, the Mockingjay pin being given to her by Prim.
Well, that's just saving them one character.
I know, but it was kind of one of those, huh? And it took me a few minutes to realize that. I know it was a quick change-up, but little things like that. Also, where's my hovercrafts picking up dead bodies? Where are they, Scott, picking up dead bodies?
Yeah, I'll tell you why there were no hovercrafts, because this movie did not have a budget. It looks cheap. The costume design is pretty unimaginative. It's like all the capital are, you know, they're described as very foppish in the books. So they went very literal on the foppishness. So it's this mishmash of Victorian, Edwardian, and Rococo French fashions in the most eye-melting colors you can get. All the cops look like, and environments look like, you know, they got from Rent a Dystopia. I'm surprised they weren't just wearing the Starship Troopers uniforms, because God knows those get a lot of traction. And a lot of when they did bust out the visual effects, they looked not good. Like, the fire was all terrible.
Well, I was going to actually say that. I mean, when they show District 12 and, you know, Cinna plants this grand scheme of flames, you know, flying behind them, it just looked so awkward. Like, it was painted on, and it just didn't actually feel like it flowed. Whereas in the book, I mean, you get the description of how it ignited and how it looked. So it was just something that didn't translate well when you watched the film. That being said, I mean, I'm with Scott on the exaggerations. I think it looked a little cheap at times. One thing that I thought was really hideous and out of place looking was the cornucopia. That was just the ugliest looking thing I had ever seen. And I couldn't actually tell if that was supposed to be a cornucopia half the time, just because it just looked awkward and displaced.
Acting-wise, Jennifer Lawrence captures Katniss Everdeen quite perfectly in that Katniss is kinda dumb. So there's a lot of her just standing there looking confused at things. And I'm glad they didn't decide to do narration for this, because that might have been painful.
I think it would have just been too difficult to have that added layer of narration on top of it. That being said, I mean, what I do like about Jennifer Lawrence's performance is that her facial expressions do kind of capture what she potentially is thinking. She does a very good job of emoting the character in specific spots where it needs that added bit of emotion that the narration usually provides. A good example is when she sees Rue in the tree, and Rue's pointing down saying, hey, like, you know, get the bee's nest. And you just see Katniss's face like, why the hell are you helping me? And then it's, why is she giving me the, oh, kind of like a dumb face there for a second, like, oh, this should be more obvious than I let it be. Or just even with, like, how she emotes with PETA. Like, one thing I loved was that really awkward, awful kiss that she has. It's perfectly described in the book, and they did a really good job here with that, especially when you see the little parachute that comes in and he's like, you call that a kiss? I was like, I agree, Woody Harrelson.
I guess other actors starting with Woody Harrelson, not drunk enough.
No,
a lot of points for Lenny Kravitz, though. I think he managed to pop quite nicely.
He was the least exaggerated character, and I actually kind of applauded that considering how Lenny Kravitz normally is. That being said, as Cinna, he just did a wonderful job. He didn't make the character so extreme that it was unbelievable, and in fact, he just came across very sympathetic towards the situation. He provided a lot of necessary emotion for Katniss's character to propel off of, which was really great. Absolutely adored the girl who played Rue. To the people being racist towards her and Thresh and Lenny Kravitz, you all need to stop your nonsense. That girl was freaking amazing. There was nothing more awesome than this little girl hiding in the rafters with a knife after one guy is bitching and complaining that, hey, where's my knife? You stole my knife. And there she is just holding it, smiling to herself. It's like, how can you not love her?
Okay, other actors. Okay, aside from Rue and Katniss, all the other kids, pretty much lame. Just lame. Gonna say it. Nothing.
Even PETA?
No. PETA was awkward, but I guess that's intentional. But I'm not gonna give too many of these actors credit. Most of them didn't get enough chance to shine, but that's a problem in the book, too.
Well, there was one character that they had the chance to do a little bit more with and didn't. Actually, there's two, I'm gonna say. Kato was one, and I think Kato just still lacked the murderous streak he had in the book. I mean, Kato is supposed to be compared to as the Kiriyama of Battle Royale, and the actor just doesn't do a good enough job to show the bloodlusty behavior, to show the sympathetic side of that character. He doesn't do a good enough job. Lacks the emotion, lacks the intent. I didn't really like his portrayal. And the second character who they could have done something with and did nothing with entirely was Thresh. You know, Thresh has a very significant role for a small part of the book in terms of his love of Rue, and his brotherly love of Rue, sorry, and the fact that he's one of the more impossible kids to kill. So the fact that you don't have that minute to sympathize for him when he does finally go is really depressing. Plus, his scene in the book is really cool in terms of how he hides in a cornfield, and that's his way of killing the other tributes. He almost had a looming presence, and that just obviously was disregarded, probably due to time, but...
Yeah. The other thing I gotta... Okay, other actors, though. Stanley Tucci, as a creepy, weird TV host, doing that job. Donald Sutherland, as the charming but menacing president, was good. Wes Bentley, actually, kind of a standout. Like, this character did not get a lot of attention in the books, and when they break perspective for him, it works. Liz Banks, just kind of there. Kids, just kind of there.
I actually liked what they did with Liz Banks, probably because of the fact that with the costuming team, she's completely unrecognizable. The only way to tell that it's really Liz Banks is if you look really carefully at, her eyebrows and her eyes. Otherwise, you can't tell that that's Elizabeth Banks at all. And you gotta love the awful fop colors they give her, because every scene she's a different color.
Yeah, what else do we got? Okay.
Oh, girl who played Primrose, you are awful. Please stop.
Yeah. This movie is PG-13. It was shot for PG-13. It suffers for it.
Yeah, this is a case of when you're doing a blood sport story, gore is always a big factor. And, you know, the whole point of a blood sport novel is to really show the suffering and the anguish that the contestants are usually going through. And this novel, because it's shot with the PG-13 mindset, you don't get any of that. In fact, you don't even get a chance to actually kind of attach yourself to what's happening in the story. So when somebody dies, there's no consequence, no big deal towards it. Whereas if you compare it to a film like Battle Royale, you get scenes that are more sympathetic towards people who are being killed off. Or maybe just you get a moment where they shine for a few seconds and that's enough to give them that glorious death. Like, death sports are all about glorifying murder. This film does not do that very well, and that's really due to the PG-13 rating.
Yeah, also, this is 2.5 hours. There's a lot of Katniss staring and looking at trees, and so much of this movie is shot handheld, and it's not good handheld. It's too close, it's too shaky, it's just a mess. Like, there's one fight scene where you've got two blonde guys wrestling, and you're like, who's who? Do I care?
Well, even worse is there's a scene where, right at the beginning with the cornucopia, there's a bunch of kids inside of it and they're fighting, but you can't tell what's actually going on. All you get is this blur from the shaky cam. And then as the fight goes on, it's like shaky cam, more shaky cam, and then finally, they just show the dead bodies. Like, oh, this all happened, but you didn't get to actually see any of it, which is not very good. I don't like shaky cam, truthfully. It makes me nauseous. This film did a good job of making my stomach curl in terms of how much shaky cam there was.
Yeah, and, okay, this has to do with sort of the adaptation. Now, the book is entirely first-person narration. This mostly sticks to that. It does break that perspective to jump to the TV show hosts and a bit to the president. And what they do is mostly for exposition. And there's this one great scene between Seneca and President Snow where they're like, this is why we don't just execute these people. This is why we do the games the way we do them. And it's a really good scene, and it really sets things up, or really gives you an understanding for the setting. But they never actually explain the rules of the games. Like, somehow this movie needs to justify to me that people honestly bet on a sport where 70% of the time you're going to be killed by natural hazards rather than other people. Like, they show you more or less how the arena works, but they don't there's no real mention of how exactly the structure of the games works or how it plays out. And they do this one thing where after Rue's death, they show a riot in District 11. And that was kind of a big plot point for the second book. And it's like, I'm glad to see it. But they could, if they're going to start alluding to other books, maybe start to build this whole rebellion thing and resistance. Because there are characters who, in book two, suddenly show up and it's like, oh yeah, no, we're rebelling now. And it's like, really? You could have given us a half of a hint of this in the first book. And the movie could have picked up on that and done a little more to set that up.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I mean, there's just some scenes that, while I appreciate them being there to set the tone for the next book, it does come awkwardly at times. That scene is a beautifully shot scene, but the placement of it is just bizarre. Because if you've read the second book, it makes complete sense to you. But if you're somebody just watching this, you're not 100% sure why that's there. And they don't really do a good job justifying that. That being said, I'm with Scott. The rules of the game is not entirely clear. Like, they give you the history and the background of why the games were created. But in terms of, again, looking at blood sports as a genre, it's hard to believe that, for example, that dehydration and natural causes are going to be the highest ranking means of death. In most blood sport novels, that's usually the smallest factor. Unless your name is Stephen King in The Long Walk.
Yeah.
And even then, most people died because they were shot.
Yeah. And really, okay, we've been mentioning other Bloodsport and dystopian fiction. And we aren't trying to be hipsters and be like, I liked this movie better when it was Battle Royale. But and this movie isn't bad because it's derivative. But because it is derivative, it does give us grounds for comparison. And it's coming up short in a lot of places. So, that said, I will be giving my opinions on a few recommendations for, you know, movies you should check out if you like this. But yeah, if you're a fan of the books, you've already seen this. If you aren't, stay tuned for next week when I give you some other things you might want to check out first. But I'm going to give this like a 3, 3.5-ish.
So here's my spiel. I find with The Hunger Games that it's great in terms of a young adult sense and putting you in that mindset of youth and death and, you know, despair. It does a good job with all that aspects. But that being said, it's hard not to compare to other works out there that just do it a hell of a lot better. But for people at the age group that this film is targeting to, it does work perfectly in some ways. That being said, I'm with Scott. It's probably like a 3 for me. There's just some things that I just could not ignore. And the cheapness of the film was definitely one of them. And the fact that just certain things just should have been made more of a big deal than they were. And I'm sorry, Rue's death, while really nicely done in the film, did not have the same type of impact it should have. So that's my spiel. Hope you had fun.
Catch you next.
Oh my god, it's the backseat producers. Swoon.
Backseat Quickies and a number of better podcasts can be found at backseatproducers.com. To offer any feedback or submit your own quickie, check out the thread at spookyouthouse.com/forum. Music by Scott Wachter.
Oh yeah, baby.
I thought they smelled bad on the outside on the subject of Cowboy Bebop.
So, but anyway, going back to the good parts that I missed. All right, phase boobs.
Phase boobs.
I have to say, that was not a good part for me. That's something I didn't really pay attention to.
I enjoyed the boobs.
13-year-old adolescent David would like to have an argument with you, ma'am.
I can see how you would have enjoyed that.
Hey.
It's just, are you more of a leg person? Is that why you weren't looking at her boobs? Because her legs are nice, too.
No, it's just that, you see, I have my own set. I really don't need to worry about hers.
That's the best argument I've ever heard.
I feel that conversation. Seriously, I'm dumbfounded by that argument.
Congratulations, you won the show. Good night, everybody.
Please check our website at sbopodcast.blogspot.com.